Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to We Uplift Radio. We are dedicated to uplifting and empowering you with some great information. My name is Aricia LaFrance, and I provide customized marketing strategies for seriously creative entrepreneurs focusing on the psychology of marketing. Our show is brought to you by Whispering Energy, and Whispering Energy is a collaboration of business owners who are dedicated to uplifting one another as well as the planet. So if you want to check them out, I would encourage you to go visit their site at at whisperingenergy.com. They have some terrific information, just some great ways to support you. So today I am pleased that magical marketer Julia Siege is joining me, and she provides branding from the heart. So I want to start with that because that's just fascinating to me. Tell me a little bit more about branding from the heart and what that's about.
Well, Risha, thanks for having me. And, you know, this is my favorite thing to talk about. And you're talking about uplifting people. And, you know, there's nothing more uplifting than being able to express who you really are and then receive what comes back to you in the form of the people that you attract and the business that you attract and the situations that you attract, because you're so clear in sharing who you are. So this show is definitely in alignment with what I would like to talk about.
Great.
And, you know, I've been an intuitive, you know, I've always been attracted to what they would call the mystical arts, maybe, like astrology and the psychic realms. I remember in high school studying the sixth sense. This was back in the 70s, so that's what we called it back then, the sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to just study everything that I could about the unseen realms and the unspoken human powers that I believe we all have, including, of course, we talk about women's intuition, but it's been rarely spoken about in a mystical way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my fascination with that realm coincided with a desire to be creatively free. And so when I was in high school, I decided I wanted to be an artist for a living. I wanted to be a graphic designer and create designs for people that would help them promote what they were up to. And I never really knew exactly how I was going to combine all aspects of my abilities into a business, but, you know, over the years, after I became a graphic designer, I got a degree and I got into media, computer graphics, and eventually into the internet. It was a process of integrating my whole self and finally coming out with, you know, what is an intuitive branding artist? And that's really the phrase I would use to describe myself. It is a person who can intuitively glean who you really are through a series of conversations and then create imagery and also phrases like verbiage that reflects your personality and your purpose in a way that promotes everything that you're up to. So rather than trying to do something strategically that's super mental, the process that I'll use is very intuitive. And you know, sometimes in the olden days, my clients used to say, did you just charge me for that conversation? Because seemed like the conversation I was having with them was about not about their marketing.
Right.
And so it because it was about their intuition.
Mhm. Yeah, it's like it's coming at it from a completely different angle, maybe that people aren't used to, and it's interesting to talk to you because, you know, my approach with marketing is I look at the psychology of the person, the personality of the person. What is it that, and you talk about the tics too, and I love that because I've taken a class with you, you know, what makes you tick, and I love that. I think it's fantastic. I think so many people are caught in this old paradigm of, you know, if we're having a business meeting, it has to be work. It has to be hard. It has to be unpleasant. It has to be probably unproductive because that's the way I think that a lot of the old paradigm meetings are.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell us, I mean, you told us a little bit about kind of how you came to this place, but, I mean, I'd really like to hear more about how you came to be an intuitive branding artist, and I love that term. It's just, it's got such appeal to it.
Well, you know, I was drawing my whole youth, and I did have an aunt who had gone to art school and then got married and had children and left her art career. And so she was always whispering in my ear, don't do what I did, go to art school and really be an artist for a living. you can do it kind of thing. So regardless of what anyone else said, I followed her advice and I went to school in upstate New York for graphic design and got a Bachelor of Fine Arts. And then I went to Madison Avenue. Now, that's what pretty much everyone in the East wanted to do. New York, you know, if I make it there, I'll make it anywhere kind of thing. And it's definitely an artistic center for the world as well as for the country. So that's where all the artists would want to go to succeed, not necessarily to be inspired, I'd have to say. So I was there on Madison Avenue. I got a job with my favorite teacher, and he was a wonderful designer. And I got trained in how to create designs that were really stunning designs. The thing was, the people that I was doing it for weren't always who I would rather support. Like, for instance, one of our biggest clients was Burger King, and I was inspiring them to work faster. That really didn't fly with my personality,
right.
But I was happy to have such a big exposure kind of project, but I did prefer it when I got to do stuff for, like, Museum of Modern Art, or Tarrytown Newsletter was a really cool one. So I got to see a lot of contrast, is what I would call it now, between what I was wanting my life to be about, what I wanted my art to be about, and what the marketing world was about.
Mm-hmm.
And the marketing world was really about hype and really fooling people or brainwashing. We did a lot of study about subliminal advertising, which became illegal at one point, but I think that it's no longer illegal. people were putting subliminal messages into marketing to try to convince people pretty much away from their intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I learned how to describe this, but at the time, I just needed to get out of there.
And right.
I had to leave New York. I was leaving my career. I was leaving everything behind. I was 25 years old. And I went to Illinois and just to live with a friend of mine where it was cheap to live, and I was living on unemployment. And because I got bored and because it was a university where she lived, I ended up getting a master's degree there in DeKalb, Illinois, in media and media studies. And so I was also very active there with students' rights and some women's issues there, and so I was using my graphic design skills to promote some things that I really believed in, and that was a big difference between what I often had to do in New York.
Mm-hmm. So sounds like it was like a turning point.
Huge, yeah, huge, because I tried to leave graphic design as a field, but what happened was that people just needed that skill. So whether I charged for it or I did it for free, I was going to be doing it. That was one thing I discovered. And while I was there, I learned that I could have my life look any way I wanted it to look. I didn't have to follow a particular path that society laid out for me. In fact, I was hanging out with some people that were laying out totally different kinds of paths for society, possible paths for society to take towards a more humanistic society. So I felt more in tune with who I was, but it took many, many years before I finally opened up to, you know, all the aspects of myself, because many aspects of myself are not really acceptable in quote-unquote society. It's not, it's really not acceptable to go around talking about being psychic or astrology or things like that in certain settings, like a marketing setting, for instance.
Right.
Saying it's supposed to be a profession, you're supposed to be professional, and it's extremely woo-woo to talk about, wow, I just, you know, really feel like I see what you're thinking. Was happening to me all the time. I was, they, my clients would say something about what they thought about their life and their business, and I would see an image in my mind. And I felt like they were just coming, like I was downloading them, but I wasn't, I didn't have a frame always in which to, to describe that. But over the past 10 years, the whole spiritual movement into business and people really thinking outside the box, I can pretty much just say I'm an intuitive branding artist, and that I read minds and things like that and not really worry about it.
Right. Well, and I love that you told your story, because there are so many people that will be listening to this that are feeling like they can't be themselves. And when I talk with people about kind of the old marketing versus the new marketing, I talk about how the old marketing was kind of about, you know, seeing, okay, what do I need to be like in order to sell this deception, so to speak, like when you were talking about kind of deceiving people. And so it was about putting on a costume, putting on a mask, and maybe doing things that were really uncomfortable. And I think that now it really is about, who is it that you are? You know, really, in your heart of hearts, who is it that you are? And being that and bringing that out into the world. And people always talk about how they hate marketing and they hate having to do the marketing, and, oh, it's yucky and I wish I didn't have to do this. But when you're coming from your heart, it's not yucky.
No, it's the most rewarding and fulfilling thing that you could possibly do when you're sharing yourself authentically. There's nothing, I mean, we are a social entity. You know, we are social beings. And so it's part of our makeup to be with other people and being communicating. And so we're going to be communicating. It's a matter of what are we communicating. And when you're talking about, like, the old paradigm of marketing where you're trying to, who do I have to be to conform to some, you know, intellectual idea of what I'm supposed to do based on my industry and my target audience? It's so alienating, I think. Just even saying those words makes me kind of sick to my stomach. And it's because I can't be something that I'm not. It's not sustainable. You know, I think a lot of people hide because they can't do the thing that their marketing person told them to do. So they hide.
Yeah.
They just don't say anything. And, you know, a lot of people probably listening would be, oh, my gosh, that's what I do. I don't really like going to those networking meetings anymore. And I look at wearing, like, putting on a marketing or a brand that doesn't match your personality is like putting on a suit that doesn't fit, and you've got to be there all day wearing this thing that's like cutting off your circulation and trying to pretend that you're somebody that you're not in order to fit into a scenario that's not you. needs. And certainly your perfect people, what I say is that there are perfect people that are a perfect match for you. And a perfect match means, you know, you can be completely yourself without any concern about who you really are. And then you can relax. Both people, you know, let's say if there's a me, I need to be able to be relaxed with my perfect customers. They need to be able to be themselves and be relaxed with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole process really begs for total authenticity. And I think that's the part that is probably the biggest challenge for people is, are you saying I'm supposed to reveal my vulnerable self in public? And not only in public, but online so that millions of people can see it? And the answer is yes. You know, I am saying be authentic and be completely vulnerable in public. And sometimes that's painful to do, I have to say. When somebody rejects you based on who you really are, it's actually more painful than when they reject you based on some fake thing. But the thing is that what happens isn't, like, increased rejection. What happens is more people who are seeking you are able to find you and recognize you when they find you. So if you're faking it in any kind of way, if you're hyping something or really emphasizing something false, then when you're perfect people who are a total match in what makes you tick is what makes them tick, you know, you're aligned on the same path, those people won't recognize you if you're hypey. And so
say that again about how those people won't recognize. I love that.
So, imagine you have a perfect customer. You're on the same path in life. That's that thing you were talking about, the tick. What makes me and my perfect customers tick, which comes from an attraction plan that I use in my business, that question, when you really get deep in answering that, and when you ask people in your life, the people that you've really loved working with or, you know, collaborating with, those people are aligned with your purpose. And so when you're faking it and you're not sharing your purpose, you're sharing some strategy, maybe even copying somebody else's web copy, for instance. It's very popular to do that in marketing. That's what marketers tell you to do. Then you're that person. They haven't found you yet. They're seeking you, the authentic you, the one that's on that path, the one that's all about freedom and love and creativity and uplifting people, the one that's all about really making a difference and, you know, having fun. That person, when you're faking it, so you're wearing a suit. I mean, I think the suit thing is a good analogy because you're wearing a suit when you should be wearing the goddess clothing. The goddess, so the goddess woman that's your total match comes in to the networking event and she does not recognize you because you're wearing a suit. And I don't mean to say anything against suits in per se, but, you know, there's a
reason
that they call people suits. It's like a name, and a suit is a, you know, is a drone in a corporation. So it has some meaning, though. I don't mean to be taken literally, but you could see how if you were completely not showing your goddess self, she wouldn't recognize you.
Right.
And
you
probably wouldn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if somebody introduced you, right? You guys got to talk. You're so alike, you know, and both of you are like, I don't know. You know, how dare you wear that goddess outfit in here? I'm not letting myself wear that. And she's going, are you kidding? This is a suit, you know. I don't see us being that alike. There's something off. And so the suit here represents what you say about what you do.
Yeah.
And what and how you visually depict your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a really conservative looking logo? Is it really plain? Is it very nondescript? Or is it, you know, is it a true reflection of your personality? And I have done logos for people who were afraid, who said, you know, this isn't professional enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, what do you mean by professional? Because it's very well crafted. So that's not the question. And she might as well, or they, it's happened more than once, you might as well have said, you know, what the problem is that I'm doing something I'm not meant to be doing. I'm just trying to make money. And I'm afraid that by being myself, I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the vulnerable part, is that if I am myself, am I worthy?
Yeah. And the answer is, before you've asked it, no. You know, that's what your traditional marketer is going to tell you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the opposite. I'll say that the most compelling thing about you is your passion. And I remember saying this for months and months and months, maybe years. And then I heard Charlie Rose say it. And Charlie Rose, you probably know because he's a famous interviewer. And I heard him being interviewed, and he said that the key to an interesting interview is to get them to share their true passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about movie stars and heads of state and all those people, and the kinds of people that he interviews, and they are by their appearance, you know, they're the name draw, right? People come just because of the name. And he's saying when they share their passion, that's when you have a successful interview. It's not the exact person necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's their passion. That's the most compelling thing. So you can get, like, People Magazine, right? You can get a common person, and if they're sharing their passion, it can become, let's say if you were interviewing somebody on television that's just a regular person, but they shared their passion clearly, that would be a very compelling show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you
know. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I really believe that, and I think that those are the human interest stories that we hear, you know, that we're all drawn to. It's because we're really connecting on a heart-to-heart level, and that sparks our passion. When we hear somebody else's passion, it sparks something within us, too.
Yes. It definitely does. And, you know, if we're entrepreneurs, you know, we started our own business, mostly so that we could be free. And so that we could be totally self-expressed. So why would we do anything in our business that's not a self-expression?
Mm-hmm. Right. So
why would we do something that was purely a strategy? How fulfilling could that ever really be? You know, people don't expect marketing to be a fulfilling process. It never occurs to them that, I'm gonna engage in a marketing process, and it's gonna fulfill me, you know, from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the things that I say in my attraction plan, what I want my perfect customers to expect from me is that when they see their design, they're moved to tears by how well it represents them, and they say to me, you know, I visit my website to balance myself. You know, when I'm feeling bad or blue, I just go to my site and look what you did for me, and I'm feel balanced. That's what I want to hear, because then they're feeling good about their communication tool, and they're going to use it. And that communication tool is a pure reflection of their purpose, and so whenever they're having a conversation about their business, they're really talking about their purpose.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more. I mean, what more is there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, to love.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying, because it's just like it sounds very organic and very pure and very, I'm trying to think of the word. It's something like simple, but it's not simple. It's just in terms of it really is truly who you are. It's just putting that out there, and it doesn't have to be so complicated with, okay, well, let's see what works, and I need to study this technique, and this is kind of the hot new marketing strategy, and, you know, I need to put on all of these pretenses because, you know, and I've written about this too, that people, when you do that, what you wind up doing is you draw exactly your wrong customer, and then you're like, well, you know, why am I getting my wrong customer? Well, it's because you're not being yourself, and when you are who you truly are, and when that comes through in your logo and your branding and all of that that you do, it really draws exactly the right people to you.
Exactly. And so when I started sharing myself authentically visually, and this is so mm-hmm. funny because, you know, I can do any style. That's mm-hmm. what graphic designers do. A good graphic designer doesn't have a specific style that they always use, unless they're
mm-hmm.
famous, you know, maybe. You know, there's some that just do the same, everyone comes to them for that one thing. But generally, you know, my clients, you know, want me to be able to design in their style, right? A style that's appropriate for their personality. So I can design in any style. And the style that I chose wasn't authentic
mm-hmm.
for many years.
Yeah.
It was a little slicker than I am. You know, I'm not slick at all, really.
mm-hmm.
You know, if you see me in person, my hair usually is never, like, really in the right place. And I can wear nice clothing, but there's always something, you know, wrinkled about them. It's just, you know, I just have a kind of relaxed style. So
mm-hmm.
so crisp and slick is not me. But I just remember being told that's what graphic designers are supposed to be.
Right.
You know, I believed it too. I believed the hype. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
supposed to wear Italian shoes and, you know, be up to snuff on the latest design. And I figured, well, I might as well make my design was cool. It was still Mona Lisa, been Mona Lisa, like a Andy Warhol style Mona Lisa for 15 years. But the way that I had designed it was very not accessible to my personality.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hiding behind my brand, probably
right.
all the way up until now, you know, I mean, in a lot of ways. It's great to have a skill where you can create a design and say that represents me
mm-hmm.
and to be able to change it up. But what I did when I really got, oh, you know, there's this magical aspect of me that I'm hiding, and I've been hiding it for 20 years and I'm really sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hide this anymore. This is too much a part of me, and I don't care if people think I'm airy fairy because, you know, too bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that's one of your biggest gifts is the, you know, is having that intuition. So it's like, why hide that? For goodness sake, there are people that would be attracted to it that, you know, that would really benefit from that. So, you know, I'm
oh.
glad that you're doing it. And I just got the magical piece. I was like, magical marketer, that's cool. But I disconnected now that magical is, you know, the intuition piece. I love that.
Yeah, it is. And it's...
Mm-hmm.
The mystical aspect, it's the unseen realms actually Fabienne Fredrickson is somebody that I study. She's the client attraction guru S. And
mm-hmm.
She said that 10 years ago, if you asked her, she'd say it was 90% marketing, 10% mindset. That's what she calls it, mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And now she would say that a successful business depends 90% on mindset and 10% on marketing. And she's a marketing, she like, you take her class and she will tell you all those details of all the things you could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I did take her class and I'm still on, you know, class one. And I'm a professional, so she has a lot of
right.
information that you can use. But there it is. And so what does that mean, mindset? That's a kind of a mainstream way of saying something about your alignment to source, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, my confidence level, my knowing that who I really am is, you know, my tagline is what you seek is seeking you. So those people who are truly seeking you are going to find you because, you know, you're seeking them, they're seeking you. It's a match. You just got to be authentic in the process.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and
still, you know, even though you could look at that and say, Julia, you know, how obvious, you know, why would you hide that for 20 years? Everyone has a little thing like that. That, I mean, because you and I are a match, really. You know, we match in a lot of ways because we are on the same path. I could be leading this radio show, you know. It's just like, oh, I could totally fit into that. You know, I could be doing that. And I could see, you know, in so many ways. And so I'm comfortable talking with you. But imagine before you've really met your people. And you have this thing, and there's probably many people out there who have a secret psychic side. And they're not going to tell their boss that for sure, or their coworker.
Right.
You're going to say you're crazy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I hid it. In order to come out with that, I just had to be, like, I had to shift who I was being, and I had to be more confident about who I really am. So I drawing those stars coming off of the Mona Lisa brush. She's got like a wand paintbrush, which is perfect for me, you know, a paintbrush that's a wand. But it never was that before. It was a paintbrush for 10 years. And suddenly it had stars coming off of it. But the real vulnerable part was when I started including my own drawings, which I had felt were too naive for anyone to actually hire me to do them. So I was also dissing my own abilities. And, you know, because I worked with a lot of great artists who were amazing, and I was comparing myself to them. So the vulnerable part was I'm going to draw a picture of my most favorite thing, which is the this mountain here in Sonoma County where I live. And I'm going to paint this mountain because every time I see this mountain, you know, I feel completely attached and connected to source. And I'm going to put this mountain behind this Mona Lisa, and I'm going to put the moon in there, and I'm going to put the stars in there, and I'm just going to put it out there. And it was hard, but the kind of clients I started attracting wanted things that looked like that. And, of course, then I started becoming more and more fulfilled. It's actually easier for me to do what I do now because the people I attract love what I would do for myself. And therefore, you know, it's really easy for me to fulfill what they want.
Right. Yeah, I it's interesting that you said that because I have a friend who is an artist and she was talking about how she was not charging very much for one of the paintings that she did because it was so easy for her. That particular painting was so easy for her to do, so she wasn't going to charge very much. And the gallery owner said, you know, that's absolutely the best painting among all of these because it really flowed very naturally, and it was kind of like she was almost channeling and putting that, you know, out on the canvas. And so we do that all the time where it's like we diss our true gifts, where it's like, well, if it's easy for me, it must be easy for everybody, and so then it doesn't count. And it's like, no, that's, you know, that is your best gift, and it's something, like you said, that your ideal clients or the, you know, what you seek is seeking you. Those people really want that. They want what comes easy to you because they're really attracted to that. And that's really, you know, your passion, and that's what we need to be putting out there in the world, even though it is a little bit scary to do that, and we do feel vulnerable doing that.
Well, like Abraham Hicks says, you know, there's never a crowd on the cutting edge. So, you know, it's one thing to be comfortable and fit in. And it's another thing to have a unique purpose that, and a unique way of communicating that and going out on a complete limb like no one else has done, doing that and then asking other people to do the same. you know, because I'm a marketing advisor, right? So I remember 2 years ago, wasn't that long ago, just 2 years ago, I remember saying in a class, I cannot promise you that being authentic is going to attract you more money.
Right.
Or more success. I can't even tell you it's going to work better than what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, you will be more fulfilled doing this than anything else.
Yeah.
That to me was what I, and that you will attract people who are in alignment with you. That is for sure. But over the years, and maybe that was 3 years ago, you know, time flies, but over the years, as I was teaching dozens and dozens of people, what became clear is that they made more money and attracted clients who were a better match for them because they were authentic. And now I would say I can absolutely guarantee you'll do better.
Yes.
Mark, I'm absolutely 100%. But at the beginning, I was like, I don't know that I have enough evidence. The upside was that I was working with the strategic attraction plan that had been designed by Jan Stringer in a book called Attracting Perfect Customers, and I got certified to use that. She had been using it with hundreds and hundreds of people already before. So I knew that plan had worked with a lot of people in terms of attracting the right customers. As I used it more and as I kind of worked with it in my own way, it's just simple, very simple questions. Like you were saying before, it's just really, really bafflingly simple. It's just that I was able to have the confidence to say to others, you know, hundreds of people have used this successfully. And I think that helped me enormously. But still, I had to go through a period of time of great uncertainty. But great uncertainty in terms of how the world was going to respond. Was the world ready for this approach to marketing? It seemed like it was, but then again, I was ready for it, you know, 25 years ago. So,
right.
You know,
yeah.
The world isn't as fast, but it turns out to announce that it has. Business has really changed in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's attracting different things, of course, but way more acceptable now to have a spiritually oriented business and to be concerned about other things other than just, say, the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Well, and the bottom line, it's the bottom line. The bottom line is making a bunch of money and making as much as you possibly can, as fast as you possibly can, and then having a heart attack and not being able to enjoy it, then it's not really any good. So I love the idea of finding something, living your passion, working in your passion. And somebody had a question in the chat room, and that was, you know, how do you help people get into that no-box mentality?
Oh, I ask a question, and the question is, what makes you tick? What makes you, what is the fire that's burning inside of you? It's like a fire, it's a desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that fire has always been there since you were a little kid. You know, for me, the magical and the artistic were always together. I separated them. I tried. But I was way into, you know, considering what is the stars, what is God, what is, you know, what are ghosts, you know, what is astrology, as soon as I knew what that was. As well as taking that crayon and drawing and drawing. So what was the fire? What was the desire that inspired me to take action as I got older? And it expressed itself in a variety of different ways. So I have that conversation with people. What is your true fire? You know, what's causing you to get into action? And for me, freedom definitely is at the top of my list, is that strong desire to be free and free, what does free mean to me is to be self-expressed. And what free to be self-expressed is actually free to be me as who I am, free to be me as who I'm not, you know, free to make mistakes and free to be brilliant. And, you know, free to say my piece and to have an influence. And I think, like, the thing that would be, you know, the opposite of that is being shut down. Sometimes I think, well, what if what if they took something away from me? Would it be worth living? You know, like, if I had to be put in jail, you know, if I had a pencil and some paper, I'd be okay. But if they took that away from me, I don't know that I, you know, I have to be able to be expressing myself or else there's no point. And so self-expression, and then if it, you know, to explore the magical realms, if I'm not free to do that, you know, they used to burn people like us.
You know, how scary is that?
That
would
work for me, you know? If I were having to be, you know, hiding that I found, you know, some wild herbs that that got rid of my cold, you know, I'd be burned. So that there's a passion for magic and there's a passion for creativity in me. And just through the process that I know I went through to discover that what that was, you know, I can do that with somebody. I do it. I've done it in some webinars this summer. It takes like maybe 10 minutes to get to the core of what somebody's passion is. Now, if they're in a resistance to that, it may take 2 hours. But it's not—it's not like an impossible task. Unless they're truly resistant, in which case they might need like a spiritual advisor or a hypnotherapist or EFT person. You know, I mean, there's people that I work with, right? I'll send them to if they're really blocked, but they tend not to be that blocked. They tend to really know when they come to me. And
yeah, so so helping people get out of the box, it's asking them, what makes you tick, and doing the work that you do with them really helps them to identify that.
Yeah, so, you know, they might say, you know, well, I'll just say, well, what did you enjoy? Like, well, look, I can do it with you for a minute. So what did you really enjoy when you were a child? What was
I actually liked listening to psychology lectures. I did. My dad was a doctor. And he would come home from these medical conferences, and at that point they put them on records. They put these lectures on records, and I remember sitting by the big, you know, the huge old record players that they had that was like a piece of furniture, and I would put on the psychology records, and I would sit there and listen to them, and I would read any psychology journals and, you know, medical books that had to do with psychology. It was just fascinating to me.
And so, like, let's go back even farther. So you were able to read. What about before you were able to read?
Before I was able to read, I think that what I spent a lot of time thinking about was, why do people do that? Whatever it is, you know, why do people anything? Why do people do radio shows? Why do people act that way? Why do they, you know, choose the things that they choose in life? That was always fascinating to me.
That was always really fascinating to me too, by the way. Just like if I could find somebody that would talk with me for hours analyzing why people do what they do, I was in heaven, just total heaven. Especially as I got older. So what do you think is important to you about that? Is there some kind of Was there something that you wanted them to do that they weren't, or was it just there? It's okay if they're just the way that they are. I just want to know why, or what was the drive behind that desire?
Do you know, I think it was because I really, you know, I wanted everybody to kind of come to this place where everybody was really getting along with each other, working together. You know, I always loved the music of folk singers. That was all, you know, all everybody kind of come together, and the, you know, the One Tin Soldier song. I don't know if you remember that. It was like 100 years ago. But I love that song where it's like everybody's fighting and then they come to the end and they're fighting over this treasure and they dig it up and it's, you know, something that says peace on earth, you know, and you know, just that kind of thing. So I think that's my thing, was that I was always attracted to the idea of peace on earth and wondering how that could happen.
So that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you're promoting?
I think peace and getting along and everybody kind of coming to their highest and best by working together.
And so through your offering, which is helping people to define your business offering.
Well, you know, the way that I put it is, you know, creating marketing strategies for seriously creative entrepreneurs, because I love creative people and I love helping them get to know themselves really, really well and getting to know their ideal client really, really well so that they can connect with those people.
So in your case, where the conversation would go is how to integrate peace on earth, which is your purpose, and people
mm-hmm.
getting along and like kind of working out like kind of why do people do that and kind of working out ways that people can get along.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Into this seriously creative entrepreneurs doing their marketing and attracting the exact right people for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a way that those can be integrated into a brand that clearly states, without too much confusion or too much verbiage or anything, it clearly says, you know, Aricia is for peace on earth, and she helps you, you know, attract the right people for your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, whoa, those are really different things. Thinking of the marketing from the old paradigm.
Sure.
But, and I thought magic and marketing were really different.
Uh-huh.
But once you put, you know, when you can discover the exact words that resonate with you, that give you that peace on earth feeling,
mm-hmm.
and combine those with the words that define your business offering.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. It's combinations happen, and then creativity happens. So
mm-hmm.
I know that it's kind of like the long answer to the person's question in the chat room is like, how do you do that? But like I said earlier, it used to look like I'm distracting them from having a conversation about marketing. But really,
mm-hmm.
I was just asking them what is important to you. And now I have a way of saying this is part of the structure, and it's called branding from the heart, and you're going to share from the heart. And rather than trying to strategize from the outside what's the strategy that's going to work, you're going to tap into your true heart, into your passion and your purpose. And you're going to share that in a way that promotes your business offering.
Mm-hmm.
And that is,
yeah.
It does require like 4 hours of conversation at least to get, you know, that message created and the visual decided upon in terms of like what symbology might represent that. It could be more.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, I'm recommending, you know, maybe 10 hours to go through this process and determine what are your packages and programs and how can you talk about them in a way that's so fulfilling. It's not like, oh, God, I got to sell this thing. You know, but
right.
People are seeking this, and how would I tell people about this thing so that those people who are looking for this will be able to recognize that this is what they've been seeking?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the way I can do that is by being clear. That's why clarity is so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Clear communications. I don't always succeed at being clear, but it's one of my number one things.
Yeah. Well, and branding from the heart is really kind of moving us into this new paradigm. So do you have any specific tips that you might be able to share with our listeners so that they can start on, you know, branding from the heart just right now, right in this moment? I mean, I think the example was terrific. I think that really helped people.
Yes. I do have a free download that people can get, and there's a 5-minute video in there. It's called the Magical Marketing Toolkit, and there's a 5-minute video in there on how to start your branding from the heart, and that's at magicalmarketingtoolkit.com or just www.magicalmarketingtoolkit.com. But short of downloading that, the simple process for branding from the heart would be to ask yourself that question, what makes me tick? What is at the heart of who I am? What is the fire that causes me to take action? And start writing about that. What's most important to you in the world? And then to start looking at what you've written and circle some of the words that you resonate the most with. You know, magic would be one of my words. You know, so I tend to be attracted to anyone that uses that word and check out what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do me too. It is definitely a magnetic word for people who are into that. So look for those words for yourself. You know, some of the other words that are commonly in my sphere are beauty, creativity, freedom, contribution, collaboration, upliftment, inspired, enrichment, balance and health. So discover those words and make a list of your tick words, we call them. And those are the words you're going to want to definitely sprinkle around in your marketing to make it. It's like consider each of those words magnets. And if you can narrow it down to 5 of your top words and use them over and over and over again, you're going to find more consistency. You know, brand consistency is important. So that people kind of start remembering you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would make a list of words that reflect the offering or the outcome that you are doing through your business. So perfect customers, you know, in my case, marketing, branding, websites, there's a lot of results. And then I'll combine those tick words with those offering words. So that would be, say, magical marketing, a simple one,
mm-hmm.
Or magical marketer is my Twitter. My Twitter name is magical marketer.
Mm-hmm.
Or my blog is magicalmarketing.blogspot.com or the magical marketing blog I have as well. And branding from the heart, which is branding. Obviously, that's from the heart and from the heart or authentic. Branding would be another way to say it, but is another what I would call magical keywords. And wildly attractive websites is another one that I use. So
mm-hmm.
you can start combining, you know, what's wildly attractive websites? And that's so much, you know, oh, what do you do? Well, I design websites, you know. Oh, well, like, oh, they're probably ugly and boring and confusing is what the other person is thinking. But if you say, I create wildly attractive websites, well, they have to go see.
Of course.
Are they really wildly attractive? So anyone here listening can go to wildlyattractivewebsites.com and see if you agree.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I love it.
That's like a simple little process, but magic happens, and you can use this process to come up with blog posts, or titles of programs, or titles of businesses, tagline, 30-second speech that you would give at a networking event, you know, book titles, and on and on. And when I'm working with people, when they really hit it on, when they say something and I reflect it back, and the shivers, you know, everyone's got shivers, and some people are crying, and, you know, like, once it resonates, it just, it's this wonderful experience, I suddenly see all the products that they could create.
Mm-hmm.
And I could whip those out. Oh, you could see how that could be the book, and you could see how that could be the program and the website.
Yeah.
This. And it just, the creative explosion happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And also, you know, we're getting to the point here where we got to wrap up. It was great chatting with you, but I wanted you to let people know about your Branding from the Heart special offer. Can you share a little bit about that?
I do have a special offer, and you can see that at brandingfromtheheart.com, just www.brandingfromtheheart.com. And I have a five-part consulting package that includes some videos on this Branding from the Heart process and some audio, like a six-part series on Branding from the Heart by audio podcast, in addition to five consultations. And the result is to really tap into what your brand identity is, what your brand message is, and how you can share your purpose in a way that promotes everything you're up to. And so that's a discounted package that's, I don't remember the value of it, but it's in the maybe $1,000, and I think that the price is like $495 or $497 or something like that. So you can see that on my site at brandingfromtheheart.com, and anyone that's interested in that package and wants to talk to me about whether or not it's for them, we can explore, we do a little 20-minute consultation, and you can call me at 707-823-3316. That's 707-823-3316, or you can write me at julia@lifeismagic.com, or connect with me on Facebook just by doing a search for Julia Steggy. And
okay.
I talk with anyone who wants to explore whether or not this process is going to work for them. And if not, then we'll say goodbye. And if so, then we'll have a great time working together.
That's terrific. Well, thank you so much, Julia, for being with me. I really appreciate you stopping by the show.
Thanks, Arisia. I really enjoyed talking with you. I love talking to people of like mind about what's most important to me. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to do that. And I hope that people found it to be of benefit.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And I want to thank our listeners as well, whether you were here live or you're listening by recording. We really appreciate having you here, and we hope that you'll stop back again. And thank you to Trinity for the beautiful music that we bring our show in and out with. You can look her up by searching for Third Road Home. She has some beautiful music. And next week, Heather Hovis will be visiting. She is an empathic healer, and she'll be here to take your questions and also just offer some support to you. I always feel like I've had a little bit of time in an oasis when I'm with her, because she'll do a meditation for us. And then she'll be here to just really offer you some support and encouragement. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. So until next week, dear ones, go in peace and uplift one another.
hoping to find my way home. I once believed in a place at the end of the rainbow, destination complete. But I know now the journey's the answer to the truth that we see. Midnight blue, though mild, worn and weathered, this a case of dreams, soft the fading denial, sweet the old. Red.